Bienvenidos a Movie Mastery. It's me, your host, John, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Hi there.
We just watched a movie in theaters that you voted for on our website, and this month's winner was Dora the Explorer, The City of Gold?
Yeah, The Lost City of Gold or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I made a mistake at first and accidentally watched the first five episodes of DuckTales.
That's a weird thing.
I know.
For you to have done.
I apologize. I'll be reviewing those instead.
Don't do that.
Gold.
Gold. Yeah.
Quackaroony.
Quackaroony.
They said quackaroony a lot in the first season of DuckTales.
That's strange.
Yeah, that was the usual like go-to exclamation.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, quackaroony. There's a big boulder.
Now normally in a cartoon where they do something like that, it's supposed to be like a side replacement for some other thing.
Oh, yeah, like your Noi Jutats and so on from Pirates of Dark Water.
It's just in my mind, I'm trying to figure out, like... Do they know someone that swears with, like, fuck-a-rooney?
Hot fuckity damn, I think is what it was supposed to be.
Anyway, we went and saw Dora the Explorer, and in conclusion, Dora is a land of contrasts.
So if you like a lot of, like, good character actors that are doing good character actor stuff and kind of the margins and background, then this will give you a lot of Michael Peña.
Now,
so that's nice.
I'm going to say, no spoilers, we'll get into that later, but this feels like a very weird choice for Nickelodeon.
It does.
Because the way this movie is set up, I just keep feeling like, who is this for? Because it's not for kids that the cartoon would be for, because those are five-year-olds, and this is not a movie for five-year-olds.
When was the last time a Dora episode was new?
And that's what I'm thinking, like, oh, is this for, like, kids that grew up with it and now they're older?
And they want a cooler Dora who goes to high school?
They're like, ooh, I want, like, an 18-year-old Dora that's, like, mildly fuckable. Like, that's what I'm looking for. And it just seems like that's a weird thing to want.
Yeah, it feels kind of like it's built around the high school musical crowd of, like, you know, charmingly attractive teenagers that sing songs.
Yeah, it's strange.
It's a very weird movie. You can tell, like, I was in a completely empty theater. I don't know about you.
No, I had people in front and behind me.
Oof.
Although the rest of the theater was basically empty.
Just, you were just in a little pod with your friends.
Yeah, I was just the meat in the sandwich of a group with a bunch of little kids and then two, like, senior citizens in front of me.
Nice.
And I was just like, okay, sure, why not?
I want to hear the story of the old people. It's just this time of day. What's the movie?
Yeah, they did not have reactions to the movie.
Okay.
It was just kind of like, we're here.
Well, my theater report is I was alone in there. And I tried to get, when I bought tickets, there were like six or seven other people who had bought tickets so that I couldn't buy those seats, you know?
Yeah.
Not there. I was alone in the theater.
Nice.
Completely. It was a weird experience to have that lady come in and do like the head count.
And let's get up. Yep. All right.
Who's seeing Dora the Explorer? Ah, one 40-year-old man. Checks out.
Yeah. No, when I was walking into the theater, the like mom with her two kids was going in right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, mom didn't seem to care, but one of the kids looked back at me like, what are you doing here, man? What's going on?
Get out of here, buddy. These are your salad days. Go run through a field of daisies.
I'll also say it seems like a weird movie for who this is for, because it also tends to sort of make fun of the source material.
It does. It's got a lot of meta jokes in it. A ton of meta jokes.
Oh, yeah.
But ultimately, that's because what else do you have if you're trying to harness a Dora property?
Well, yeah, the problem is you look at it and you go, all right, well, you could just make a cartoon version of Dora and have like an hour and a half long cartoon version of one of the TV episodes.
Uh-huh.
Sure. But with this, they were like, oh, we're going to try and go for like the weird semi-realistic version of Dora,
which I think is going to end up being most of the discussion that we're going to have today, is the fact
that this is Dora the Explorer in magical realism.
Yeah, well, there's some magical realism and some jokes about how magical the show was, and it's just a weird mix.
It is very weird.
You can skip this in theaters. Why don't we skip to that? You don't need to go see this in theaters. If you're upset, wait for Netflix or whatever. It's fine.
I mean, it's charming enough, even as someone who never watched an episode but knows way too much about Dora just from the zeitgeist.
Sure, there's a lot of osmosis for Zora.
For Zora?
Zora. I've said Dorna and Zora so far. In case you were curious how much I cared about this property or this film.
But yeah, it was interesting. I'll say that. It kept my attention.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I guess what I'm trying to say here is...
In summation. Is that what you're trying to say here?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not.
Oh, well, then maybe we'll see people after the break?
Yeah, we're going to play a little music. We'll be back with a full spoilery review of Dora the Explorer, The Lost City of Gold.
A land of contrasts.
We gotta find a paw print, that's the first clue. We put it in a notebook, and now what do we do? Blues, 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 blues. We gotta find another paw print, that's the second clue. We put it in a notebook, now what do we do?
Ooh, welcome back, my good and faithful listeners. It's time to really get into the absolute weird decisions that they have made with Dora the Explorer.
Sure. Yeah, that seems reasonable. Okay, well, we might as well start with how the movie begins, which is pretty much a 6-year-old Dora and her 8-year-old cousin Diego.
And the movie starts being pretty much a literal live-action translation of the show.
Yes.
So Diego and Dora are both running around. They're the same ages in the show.
Yeah, they're swinging from vines. They're like riding a Jeep.
Yeah, there's a monkey and a backpack that talks and a map that talks and, uh-huh, and a little jaguar.
All the stuff you were expecting from Dora the Explorer and Diego the...
Cousin. Cousin Diego.
He had his own show and stuff. He was like an animal doctor or something.
Yeah, sure. That's great.
Yeah. He had more interest in animals and less in whatever the fuck Dora did.
Looking around at stuff?
I guess, yeah. But they both had shows.
That's weird. Yeah. I'd never heard of that.
Shared universe.
Huh.
But anyway, the two of them are just running around and having their fun adventure. And then we immediately, you know, do the cut to, oh, they're just sitting in a pretend Jeep.
Yeah, they're in a little cardboard box that's drawn on to look like the front of a Jeep. And they're just having play pretend adventures. And when you get to that point, you're like, oh, okay, I get it. You're going to try and do a realistic version of Dora. So instead,
yeah.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing is when you cut from a literal translation of the show to this, you're like, oh, I get it. You don't want to do the whole, like,
yeah, we're lampshading it. We start with 3 minutes of action, of what a live action full magical realism Dora would look like, and then we lampshade it into, oh no, it's just the real world, don't worry about it everybody, but here's a weird CGI monkey that she still hangs around with anyway.
Yeah, no, that was the very first thing that got me, is I go, oh, they're gonna try and do a realism thing, and then immediately they're like, no, there's a CGI monkey that's purple with a yellow belly, and you're like, oh, okay, you've decided not to do that then?
Now, technically, Boots in the film is far more intelligent than a monkey would be, and also far more upright. They've basically given him a human frame, which is just creepy when you look at it as a CGI ape.
Instead of it being like, oh, we tried to make a like realistic capuchin monkey or whatever, and then like changed its coloration, it's just a weird live-action-ish version of a cartoon.
It's not cool. It is not. And then, you know, her parents come out and they're like, whoa, hey, we talked about putting boots on the actual monkey boots. It's just a monkey. You're not allowed to do that.
No human clothes on a monkey. That would be ridiculous.
That's a wild animal. The weirdest one there's ever been.
No one is going to remark on the fact that this monkey is weird.
Yeah.
But that's not even the... act like the peak of shit that's weird that no one bothers to mention.
I mean, we're going to get to that late, much, much later in the movie. But yeah. Anyway, it's just a realistic story about a little girl whose parents live in a Robinson Crusoe-style jungle castle.
I mean, they've got a weird cabin out in the jungle, which, okay, sure, whatever.
I guess. I mean, it's she sleeps literally on a dock over a lake.
Yeah.
Their house is fancy. And they make a big point about how they aren't in it for the money and they don't really have any money. They just live in a huge mansion-y thing, a big jungle mansion in a lake, on a lake.
Now, to be fair, they say they're not in it for the money. They don't say they don't have money.
That is true. It could be that they were already rich and that this is just their
yeah, they're like,
idle
we're the,
rich plan.
We are the idle rich and our joy is to go around and look at weird things.
It's Ava Longoria and Michael Peña, by the way, are playing her parents.
Yes. Now, we find out that Diego is going to have to leave. This is his last day there.
Mm-hmm. He's going to the city with his parents because they found a specific job to do there.
Yeah.
And it's weird. They keep mentioning the city, and they're often like Guatazuela or what, you know, one of those made
they're
up.
In South America.
They're in
where? South America.
And city, I kept thinking they must mean like Mexico City or Lima or
oh, yeah, because they were like Bogota. The city. And yeah. I went, oh, that's got to be whatever the big city is near where they are.
It's Hollywood.
Yeah.
What? And also in the scene where they drive, where they fly there on a cartoon map, fuck you, Hollywood isn't that far south in California. It's like the first thing once you cross the border. Eat a dick. Don't erase San Diego. We exist, goddammit.
Goddammit.
Whoa.
So we get them together. They're having a last family meal. And, of course, it's time to lampshade the show again as Dora takes a bite of the meal and is like, delicioso. Can you say delicioso? And, of course, everyone just looks at her as she is looking off into the distance like, what are you doing?
Good
say
job.
Delicioso.
Say delicioso. And her dad's like, well, we've agreed not to encourage this.
She's a kid. She'll grow out of it.
Yeah. And then they have a scene where Diego and Dora have a heartfelt discussion late at night in their beds on the lake, where they break a candy bar in half and agree that they'll always be friends.
Yeah. And so Diego goes off to go live in the city. And we cut to 10 years later, and Dora's now just free running through the jungle.
Yeah, I think she's supposed to be 16 or 17 years old.
I believe she's supposed to be 18, actually.
Which would make it very weird that her 2 years older brother Diego is still in high school.
It is.
Which is why I think she's supposed to be 16 or 17.
It's very weird.
Maybe he was terrible.
It's possible.
He certainly doesn't seem to be enjoying himself in any way.
No.
Diego basically has to take on the high school, because let's get right. Well, I mean, we can come back to this, but this is a lot of this movie is about high school shit, and Diego is that general person at the beginning of any high school movie that has to be like, here's the cliques, here's how it all works, everything sucks, you have no happiness in high school, everyone has to just look out for number one, it's a crappy world. I'm like, dude, you're like a skinny, hot soccer player. What are you complaining about?
Yeah, no, if it was like someone like me going, hey, high school sucks and everything's terrible about it, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, my dude, there's no way you're not popular.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but you're popular.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah, that's just the break. Anyway, adult-ish Dora is now, well, teenager Dora, is running around the jungle, having adventures the same as she always has.
Yeah.
She still has Boots with her. Boots does not age in the film.
No.
And
10 years later, Boots is exactly the same.
Uh-huh. Still a creepy CGI and what's it? And also, she has not changed in any way, which is kind of a theme of the film. She's still like, oh, look, a golden poison frog. Can you say severe neurotoxicity?
Yeah, which, okay, I get it. I understand. At least when it was doing this scene, she had like a little GoPro camera, and I went, oh, that's actually a really interesting twist on it in that, you know, when she's saying that, she's actually saying it to a camera like as if she was doing it for a YouTube show.
Yeah, she's like vlogging or something.
Yeah,
so
that would be a way that I'd go, oh, okay, when you age Dora up, instead of it being like, I'm having to get kids to say things, she's talking to an audience of like her viewers. But
Never happens again.
She never uses the camera again, never uploads it to anything, and it's just sort of a weird thing that she has the camera at all.
Also, she drops this conceit of talking to the middle distance after this one line.
Yes, indeed.
That's the last time she does it in the movie.
Yeah, they lampshade it twice?
Yeah.
Immediately!
They use shorthand to indicate that nothing's changed, and then change everything.
The thing about Dora in this movie that I actually really loved was the fact that she was like, no, I'm basically a hyper positive toddler that's now in a teenager body that's just like, I am just completely happy. I am very outgoing and just like, yes, it's good times, time to have adventure.
Yeah, I mean, eventually she's you kind of hope that she's going to kind of get with the program of the way the other kids act a little bit. But instead, they pull the, no, this is just who I am, and people need to adapt to me message move, which is interesting.
Well, I'm down for it, because honestly, I would love to have more people be like, no, I'm just relentlessly positive about things, and you cannot bring me down.
Yeah. Anyway, she's running around the jungle, and then, oh, by the way, there's a whole thing set up where her and her parents have always looked for a secret, mysterious Incan temple called Parapata, the lost city of gold.
Yeah.
So, and then she thinks she's found something that'll link to it.
She goes into some cave, finds a weird little gold monkey statue, and she goes to jump over this little chasm. If you've seen the trailer, it's in that. Fails to make the jump and has to be rescued by her parents.
Yes, and that's the last straw. It's time for you to go to military school.
That's right.
That was a bad jump, so you can't live with us anymore, is effectively the message here.
Yeah, they're like, look, we've essentially found the city that we were looking for. Parapatra is over here, and we're going to go explore that, but you're not allowed to come with us because you've just proven that you aren't ready.
Too bad at jumping.
You don't have mad hops, so you cannot come with us.
Your jump chops aren't where we need them.
Look, you need to go to the city and learn how to get some ups before you can be an explorer.
You need to study under your grandmother. She was Princess Peach in Super Mario 2.
So they're gonna send her off to the city. She is less than pleased about that, but
deeply upset.
You know.
Because she's ready to go with them, too. She's an explorer, not a treasure hunter, just like them.
Indeed.
So this, to her, is a betrayal. She's not happy about this whole going to the city thing. She's like a lot of movies about a kid who grows up in the middle of nowhere, or TV shows about a kid who grows up in the middle of nowhere by herself. She does not want to go make friends in the big city. She wants to keep living with a monkey.
Well, yeah. She's like, I don't know how to make friends. I'm not going to know what I'm supposed to do. I'm always just, I'm happy being here alone and fucking around in the jungle. But
too bad.
Who cares? We know you have never socialized with anyone outside of your cousin, and that was 10 years ago. So here, you just get to go to high school.
Yep. And you have to leave this monkey alone at the house.
Yeah. No monkeys in LA.
Yeah. And then they give her the talk before they leave, which boils down to a bunch of jokes about raves.
Which, weird.
It fell very flat.
A very weird thing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Michael Peña doing some shtick.
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing that I'll enjoy.
Yeah. But they were like, things are going to happen when you're there. People are going to ask you to go to raves.
And there are people there called ravers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just looking at it going, this is a weird thing for them to put in here. I guess I understand it as a touchstone for your parents are out of touch.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, the last time your parents were in an actual civilization, like, candy ravers were still a thing.
Yeah, that's probably supposed to be what the setup is. But since we don't get any other confirmation of that throughout the course of the film, there's never a point where her parents are like, we're wildly out of touch and still think it's the mid-90s.
Yeah, they're like, oh, have you had fun in the city? Have you been, I don't know, listening to various Backstreet's Boys?
How do you feel about the comedy stylings of Real Big Fish?
The comedy stylings of Real Big Fish?
Yeah, they also did comedy. I don't know if that comes up very often.
But
they were also an improv troupe.
How great would it be to go to some college and they're like, hello, we're Real Big Fish, the improv troupe. And you're like, oh, God damn it.
You sons of bitches.
You got me. You fucking got me.
I mean, I would, now I kind of want to start that.
Right? Just start up some improv troupe, but with a band name so you can sell tickets for it.
Yeah.
And people show up, they're like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing.
I can't believe you're still touring.
Oh. Well, oh, no, no, no.
I need a suggestion from the audience.
Get fucked.
Maybe after the show. Thank you. We've been Real Big Fish. The improv troupe.
So she heads out and we get some nonsense with her in the airport. Not really knowing what to do, just saying hi to everyone. And
yeah, she tries to introduce herself to every single person ever. And then she meets her family, her uncle and aunt, who are not characters who appear in this film.
Nope.
Diego is there, and Diego is, like, as mentioned before, he's the one who left the movie, the reality of the Dora the Explorer universe too early, and so he's forgotten all of this.
Yeah.
And he's as surprised at her weird behavior as everyone else.
It's very weird to me, because later on in the movie, we get a point where he's like, look, I never forgot about, you know, our time in the jungle, you were my best friend, whatever. But when he first sees her, it's not even like he has the excuse of later in the film when he's at school and he's like, oh, I don't want to be embarrassed in front of, you know, my friends and peers.
Mm-hmm.
He's just at the airport, but he's like, oh, you're so weird. Oh.
So Diego is almost definitely the most disappointing character in this film. He has no business that's relevant. He doesn't really do it. When they introduce the gang of four kids that are going to be going on the madcap adventure towards the end, he's in there because he's her cousin. And that's it. He sucks.
He just really doesn't have a through line. Like, Dora obviously has a lot of character and interactions with people. And, I mean, honestly, the person they got to be Dora is very good in this film, I would say.
Yeah.
She does a great job of being that sort of, like, childlike wonder at everything.
Yeah.
But you have a couple people we will meet when they go to high school, one of which is sort of a just white nerd that has no friends.
Well, yeah, it's kind of amusing because they're like, well, you have to go through and meet the people of high school. All right, here's the two. Oh, what do you know? They're the two that go on an adventure with us later.
Yeah, it's here's a big nerd, and then here is the class president / like leader of whatever, but volleyball or something.
But no one likes her because she's carved out a niche of being the person who's like the smartest in school and the class president and shit like that.
She's the one who's like, oh, I'm better than everybody.
Yes.
And so those are the only people she meets outside of one recurring jerk.
Yeah.
There is one character that will show up about four times, just say one line about being like, oh, you're Dorka. And that's it.
Yeah. She gets stopped on the way into school because the school has a security checkpoint. And wouldn't you know it, her backpack is stuffed with a variety of deadly jungle things.
Deadly jungle
except
things.
Except it isn't. It's just, it's all stuff like flares and a tent. And
see, I get the flare thing, but when it was like, oh, I've got like a little tent. And
the hammock was the one where I was like,
Why can't you bring a hammock into school?
What do you give a shit if a kid has a hammock? And he's like parading it in front of her like she took a dump on a napkin or magazine. He's like, you did this. And she's like, you have this thing. Yeah, that's a portable hammock.
That's a little tiny generator. And you're like, okay, what are you going to be like? Oh, no, you can't have this.
Yeah, it was a weird moment. Then she goes, it turns out that she's very good at school because, well, luckily for her, all the questions that are asked in school are questions that are relevant to her homeschooling.
Yeah. I don't mean, I get that she was homeschooled by two professors.
Mm-hmm.
So presumably in this, they're like, oh, yeah, they wanted to teach her a whole bunch and they're super interested in all sorts of things. Yeah,
they aren't professors of anything in particular.
They're just professors.
They're professors of professorology.
Yeah.
And therefore, they know all this crap.
Exactly. I mean, the first question that she gets asked is about Moby Dick, and I'm like, that's weird, because it's not like your parents are literature professors. They're out there exploring stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if your first question was about, oh, let's say zoology.
Yeah.
I would understand you standing up and being like, I know way too much about this.
Also, as a shorthand, this is a really funny moment because they're all in class together. And the question is just, which one of you wants to tell me about Moby Dick?
Yeah, it's just
like, what kind of fucking assignment is that? What are you
the question of who is Moby Dick and what is its significance?
Yeah.
And you're like, that's a pretty broad question you got
who
there.
Who is Moby Dick? Are we putting it in a remedial English class? With again,
are you expecting someone to raise their hand and be like, is Moby Dick the ship?
Yeah, it's a bad question. And again, just to make this clear, Diego is in this class.
Yes.
She's in a class with her 2-year older brother. And they never mention this
cousin.
They never mention this age disparity.
No. He's going to be on the same field trip in the same classes.
Mm-hmm.
I have to imagine that when he came over from the jungle, they probably held him back a little bit.
It could be. And it could be.
Because I assume his parents weren't professors of professorology, so he didn't quite get the same education in the jungle that Dora did.
It could either be that they didn't hold him back, but they just put him into the grade he was in, but they had to test Dora because she had never attended any kind of school, and she tested at the senior level and so was treated as a senior and stuck in there.
I think it's far more likely that they held a student back for having lived in the jungle.
I guess. Sure, why not? But I mean, because he was only 8 when he left the jungle. How much holding back are they doing?
Oh, they're holding him back.
And then they don't hold her back at all.
No.
When she gets there, they're just like, yeah, fine. You're a soft meanier or whatever. You're in the same grade as your brother. Don't worry about it. For narrative convenience, I want you to not worry about this.
Look, you are in high school, and high school is a nebulous blob of students that are in no way separated.
They're all together, except that if you met two of them earlier, they're going to be in your classes.
Look, if you happen to run into two people while you were at this school, they will definitely be everywhere you are.
Mm-hmm. I don't even remember. Wally is the name of the nerd. And I don't remember the other character's name.
Sammy is the
Sammy? Okay.
Class president.
All right. So, yeah, and they're boring. Sammy is very type A and very anxious and uptight. Wally is just every kind of nerd stereotype.
Yeah, he's smart but not smarter than Sammy or Dora because it's important that they be the smart ones.
Mm-hmm.
He is nerdy but not in a way that you would know because he doesn't reference anything that he does.
He just kind of generically plays video games.
Yeah, and he... He also is sort of tragic in that it's like, oh, we get his backstory of he was left at the public pool a lot and would pretend to drown for attention.
Yeah, he gets a weird backstory, and also he is the school bully magnet.
Yeah.
And there you have it. That's the full story. Although he doesn't seem to be bothered by that in the slightest.
No.
So he's an interesting character, but not very. Anyway.
They're going to...
There's a school dance.
There's stuff, and... Things are bad, and she gets made fun of.
The end.
The actual thing is going to be when they go on a field trip, and the four of them are in a scavenger hunt together.
What? You're trying to skip over the school dance, John, and I will not brook that, sir, because the part where she comes out dressed as the fucking sun and does, I know how to do dance moves, this is the peacock, and so on, is ridiculous. Like, I know she's ultra positive, but she's smart enough to read a fucking room.
I don't know, because... At this point, she hasn't really socialized with anyone, and if she does go like, oh yeah, these are dance moves, and I don't understand the idea that people would hate me for dancing,
mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing where I can understand that.
Why is everyone calling me Dorka? I am just enjoying doing dances that vaguely look like bad animals. Again, I want to be rewarded throughout the course of this film for being a preschool person. That's my cousin right there. Yell at him as well. And then they have the bad moment where he's like, you're such a weirdo. It's hard enough for me.
High school is just the worst, and I can barely survive, and now you? Blah.
Yeah, so that's all very important. But she's dressed as the sun because it's a come as your favorite star party.
Yeah, and I do at least enjoy that our... pasty nerd just has a hydrogen shirt on.
Well, yeah, the movie kind of vaguely sets the two of them up and then doesn't pay it off in any way.
I loved that it was very clearly obvious that he was into Dora,
mm-hmm.
and there is nowhere that it goes.
Yeah, it has, because she's I mean, I don't want to be mean to Dora, but for all her outgoingness, she is obliviously self-centered.
Yes.
Okay, so, yeah, they have to go to a school field trip to the Natural History Museum, which led to one of my angriest moments. In the, just like I was kind of angry about the Moby Dick question,
uh-huh.
There's this part where they're like, all right, I want you to team up into groups of four and go on a scavenger hunt. And the first thing is, find the oldest thing in the museum that you can. And they're like, maybe we could find something from ancient Egypt. That's pretty old.
Yeah, like, and, oh, there's a banner up there for an ancient Egypt exhibit.
And then some woman is like, oh, do you want to find something even older? The Egyptian museum is, or exhibit is closed, but it's in the basement right now. I could let you in. And you know what's infuriating to me, John?
There were, right behind her was a dinosaur
a
bone?
A dinosaur skeleton was yeah. right fucking this.
What no, you, I know. But that the thing is, as soon as that happened, I went, okay, but I get it because that's just a plaster cast of it.
Oh, yeah.
That's not the actual bones.
You tell me that particular Natural History Museum, the one in Los Angeles, does not have any fossils for real. That is unlikely.
It's very unlikely. It is super unlikely that there wouldn't be anything older than
Egypt.
Ancient Egypt, yes.
Egypt, we're talking, what, 8 to 4,000 years ago, give or take? Dinosaurs, we're talking 65 to 300 million years ago, give or take.
Yeah, I mean, all you need is some actual skeleton somewhere, some piece of bone.
It could be from the cold, or the ice ages. Where it doesn't matter. All of that shit's going to be older than some Egypt nonsense.
Yeah.
But yeah,
no.
The fact that the whole conversation is held in front of a, what I'm pretty sure is an Ankylosaurus fossil, is maddening.
Oh, yeah. That's the main issue with it, is if you hadn't had that in the background,
uh-huh.
where you just like see a dinosaur tail sitting yeah. there, and you're like, come on.
Come on, Dora, you're smart enough for this.
You should, even if you don't get it, one of the three people with you should.
Yeah, and their whole plan, because the three of them, of course, are forced together, because no one likes any of them. Maybe Diego had a chance up until that school dance.
Huh.
But now the four of them are forced together, and this random woman's like, let me let you downstairs so you can find the Egypt exhibit. And I'm like, okay, number one, that'd be cheating. Like, if you showed up with pictures that the other students couldn't even get.
Yeah, you're like, here's me in the basement. I got pictures of stuff that isn't on display.
Yeah, that'd be like, okay, well, that wasn't fair to the other kids. And second, you could just work with what you got. Like, if Egypt is the oldest thing that's was available and it's not available, find the next oldest thing. Find some Etruscan shit or something. Work within the rules, you assholes.
You, find me something from, I don't know, Assyria.
Yeah, that might be older than Egypt, but whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Anyway, they go down into the basement.
And there, oh no, it turns out that these are mercenaries trying to capture Dora.
It's a trap. There's three of them down here. One of them is Tembuera Morrison.
They shove her into a box that her friends were hiding in and then gas them.
Yeah, they get sleep gassed. Jango Fett sleep gasses them all.
Indeed, he does.
Uh-huh.
And they wake up in the jungle.
In an airplane.
Well, an airplane in the jungle.
Yeah. Because we have to set up one of the many gags for Sammy as a character, which is that she refuses to believe anything.
Yeah.
Because Dora looks out the cracks in the crate they're in. She's like, we're in an airplane. No, we're not. We're not in an airplane. That makes no sense. Looks at a crack. We're in an airplane. Get ready for that joke. I hope you like that joke.
I hope you like that one.
That's a good one. That's a good joke.
Let's try spinning. So Dora looks out and gets spotted, and they try and hide. But then, oh, here comes old Professor Alejandro to save them.
Professor Alejandro, played by Eugenio Derbez, who's a great actor, but honestly just kind of looks like Hank Azaria wasn't available.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, that is the look.
But, you know, I am actually glad that they're like, oh, no, let's go with any Latinx person instead of Hank Azaria.
I always forget what Hank Azaria actually is. He's like Greek or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this character looks like a Hank Azaria type. But you're not wrong. Using an actual Latinx actor was the right way to go.
So he rescues them. They run off. And this is where the movie really started going, let's say, off the rails for me. Because they're running away, and it's this professor and the four students, and they're running off. And then fucking Jango Fett is like, hey, Swiper, and a basically CGI cartoon fox wearing
a Zorro mask,
a mask and gloves, shows up and speaks in English and is like, yeah, I'll go get the map.
Let me know what you want, boss. I will go and do it for you. And you're like, what the hell? What is this now?
What is what?
What?
And he runs over and steals the map that Dora has. And so in the beginning of the film, we see Swiper and they're like, hey, Swiper, no swiping in the beginning.
Man.
And then he shows up here and I'm like, were you just prescient little kids?
Yeah, were they prophetic? Or is any fox with a mask Swiper? What is happening?
And
is it like a magic mask? And in her imagination, she remembered the magic mask that she had seen before. And it's like a Frosty the Snowman situation. Like, this mask blows through the universe and every once in a while it lands in a fox's head and he becomes Swiper.
Oh, yeah. No, this is basically the like Dr. the Fate mask.
That's the mask.
It's the mask, but for animals. Except the mask is also the mask for animals.
So, but yeah, there's this fox, this bipedal, very unusual fox. And you can tell he's very unusual because the voice actor they have for this job is Benicio del Toro.
But he, like, steals the map and she goes, oh, no, that fox swiped it like some kind of Swiper. Okay, I get.
It's almost like he wants to swash and swipe my Swindows.
The problem I'm having here is you've decided to go all in on a fox that wears gloves and a mask and speaks English, but you can't just have someone be like, hey, no swiping, Swiper. They have to react to it in the way that they would if it was a regular fox, and that's the problem I have now. This movie set up like, oh, that's not that monkey shouldn't have clothes on. It's a wild animal. We live in the real world. Anyway, here's a talking fox in a mask. What the fuck, film? What are you doing?
It's amazing.
The film goes full magical realism at this point.
Yes. It makes a dramatic switch. In the beginning of the movie, it's like, ah, you remember the Dora show, right? Like,
well, we're not doing that.
She sings Backpack, the song about a backpack, and the only line in the song is the word backpack. You know, it's Dora. But we're not doing that. She's all grown up, and everything's real. Also, here's a CGI fox.
It's so fucking weird.
And it gets even weirder because they get the map back from Swiper. Oh, no, wait.
No, they don't.
They don't. But they don't get the map back from Swiper, but they escape the mercenaries. They manage to steal a Jeep and drive off into the cornfields or something.
Yeah, and the professor has her dad's notebook.
Yes.
So she's like, well, we don't have the map, but I can at least follow the clues that my dad put in his notebook.
And here's where it gets the weirdest that it's going to get, because Sammy reacts to the whole situation they were just in, where they were like running for their lives and being shot at and so on. With a break, she breaks down and is like, what the hell just happened? That was a talking fox in a mask. Why would a fox need a mask?
Does he need to remain anonymous for some reason? Who's going to recognize a fox?
Which is a great line, but no one reacts to it. Everyone else is just going, oh, yeah, there's a fox with a mask.
Yeah, obviously it's a talking fox with a mask. That's in the real world.
Yeah.
The division between what's something that people will believe and what's something that is people will not believe is so strange to me, because there is a point later on in this film where I don't care. I'm skipping ahead to something. Dora's feeling very down, and she's talking to Boots, and throughout this she'll be like, oh, you know, Boots will tell me things and whatever, but it's always played as her just having a conversation in her mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, with the voice of Danny Trejo, Boots begins to speak to her and tells her about how, like, oh, she can save her parents and she just needs to...
It's
like,
tough out there for a teenager. It's your, because right now you're a teenager, and that's a difficult time. And you're like, whoa, what? What are you?
Why is the voice of Danny Trejo coming out of this weird CGI monkey?
And why does this obviously old monkey have a lot of opinions on teenage times?
And then he finishes up what he's saying, and, you know, her friends come around the corner. She was like, oh, I was just talking to Boots, and Boots was talking to me. And they're like, haha, that's crazy. There's no way that could happen. And I'm like, you motherfuckers. Oh, my God.
That's crazy, Dora. There's no way that could have happened.
That's not a fox.
Now let's keep escaping from the talking fox.
It's maddening.
It's a very unusual decision that I actually kind of respect.
No, the fact that the movie does go basically full magical realism at this point actually had me engaged with it, because I'm like, okay, I can't tell if you're doing this seriously, or is there going to be a point where, like, Dora wakes up from this and is like, oh man, I had the weirdest dream while I was in this crate.
Yeah. Okay, so the dude that's with them, Alejandro, the professor, is like, yeah, I'm a good friend of your parents. I'm an ancient languages professor. As it turns out, the only possible way for us to get out of this jungle that has roads and stuff is to go find your parents. We have to. We can't, even the two kids who don't want to be here, we have to bring them with us to go find your parents.
Yeah. And, I mean, at least the two, like, students that aren't, you know, Dora or Diego are like, isn't there anything else we could do? Are there authorities we can call or whatever?
Could we use, like, a phone or something? And then, like, Diego or Alejandro's like...
just
like,
mocking them?
Oh, yeah, sure. We will call 911 and then tell them we're at the corner of the rainforest and the other rainforest.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're at an airstrip in the jungle. I mean,
it had a name.
It had a name and everything.
It was Rico's Aeropuerto.
Yeah.
Fuck you. If there's an airport there, there's enough traffic that you can find something.
Yeah. But to be fair, you know, ultimately it turns out that this dude's a bad guy, so he's just bullying them into leading them to all the treasure.
Yes. Oh my god, spoiler alert. Spoilers.
Spoiler alert. But now they go off into the jungle, and at this point we establish the basic tenets of jungle travel when you're going to an ancient lost city, which is that there are invisible natives that shoot darts at you everywhere you go.
Yeah, well...
but they never hit you.
Because there has to be... the Lost Guardians mm-hmm. of Parapata, and they have to deal with basically anything you would find in a jungle movie. This is basically like Jumanji the teenage years is what this movie is.
Pretty much. So, you know, they find quicksand, they get shot at by people, they go rolling down a hill in a big log, all of the basic jungle things.
Yeah. And I will say this, some of it, they're like, oh, these are, you know, the native guardians, and they've been here, and they're to make sure no one finds the lost city, and we're fine with that. And no one really mentions anything about that. No one gets meta about any of the other things they're talking about. But as soon as we get to a point where they get into, like, this weird aqueduct, the pasty nerd is like, oh, it's a jungle puzzle! I know this from movies! And again, at this point, I gotta go, this is where you're gonna decide to start saying that this is like a movie, just because there are levels, or levers.
Yeah. Also, that lever system didn't make any sense. Every lever in there only made water pour.
Out of one different statue.
Yeah. So it was like, why would you make this system where the levers are internal? It fills the room with deadly water.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
That's a weird choice to be like, okay, how do we turn on our aqueduct water system?
Well
someone's got to go stand in the room and drown.
Someone has to die if we want to turn on our aqueducts.
And this is where... fucking our pasty nerd gets to have his shining moment of glory, because it turns out he can hold his breath for 7 minutes because he used to pretend to drown all the time, so he got real good at holding his breath.
I think my favorite thing that happens in this series of jungle challenges, effectively, is the quicksand part where Dora's like, oh, I know how to get out of quicksand because I'm fucking Dora the Explorer. Fuck you. Everyone lie on your back and then kick your feet so your legs come up and then squish your way back out. And the one dude, the adult's like, no, I don't want to. I don't know how to do that.
No, that sounds ridiculous. And so, I'm not doing that.
And so he disappears, and then... There's no tension at all, because they just walk around the corner and there's his leg sticking out of a statue or something, and they just pull him out, and that's the end of that.
Yeah. Now that happens before the aqueduct thing, and I thought that was going to be the point where the holding your breath was going to pay off.
Oh, right.
They were going to, like, tie a rope around him and he would jump in there after him or something.
To his credit, Wally, as a character, is immediately like, all right, well, Dora may be an annoying weirdo, but she is from the jungle.
Yeah.
I'm going to do whatever she says.
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. She does. I will do whatever.
Yeah. He's also the one that never gets mad at her for constantly turning everything into songs, which sets up one of my favorite scenes in the film, which is when the uptight Sammy needs to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. And she's got to sing a song about digging a poo hole.
Uh-huh. We got to dig a poo hole so you can take a poo here and so on. They keep using the phrase poo, which is it layers into hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what's going on. You have to poo. Of course I have to poo. I haven't pooed in 48 hours.
It's an interesting choice, and I stand by it.
I thought it was a well-executed scene. And, of course, they get chased by bad guys while she's trying to poo, so she has to pull up her pants and run with them.
Yeah, without wiping. And that's...
Wiper? No wiping.
That was the point where I was like,
oh, I'm out.
I can't get into this movie anymore. All I can think about is, you got shit on your ass.
No, it's okay. She never actually started to poop.
Now it's even worse.
She was just starting to get comfortable.
Because... you were trying to, and she hasn't gone in 2 days, and then you start running. Ooh, she shit her pants.
No, you know how it is when you haven't pooped in a while because you're constipated, and then it takes a while to get it. You know how that goes.
No, I don't. I'm regular. I'm regular, like old Degular. Faithful. You could get your clock set by my poops.
Well, in any event, she has to run away. We never resolve whether or not she has loose poop on her butt.
No one ever resolves it, and that is the great failing of Dora the Explorer. No one ever follows up on the, have you got shit in your pants?
I mean, if it makes you feel any better, they more or less immediately fall in the lake at that point. So at least she gets a butt bath.
Yeah.
So there's that.
There is that.
Yes, there's. In case you're worried about that, there's that. Right around this point, they reveal that they have to go through an opera house to make it where they're going. There's like the ruins of an opera house.
Yeah, they're like, oh, some European colonists came here and built an opera house in the middle of a jungle where...
And then they didn't build anything else near it or anything.
And no way to get to it.
Yeah, that's just what... Yeah, that's what European colonists do.
Yeah, you remember how Europeans used to just go into the middle of a jungle, build an opera house, and nothing else?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it would explain the opera house's location in Final Fantasy VI.
Europeans.
Those Europeans.
That explains it.
Those crazy Europeans from Moblitz.
So. Anyway.
They find a lady. And the lady's like some local. So she speaks in Incan. And they're like, she will take these two home. But not the you guys are going on a quest.
They're like, oh, if you want to get home, you go this way. If you want to find the city, you go this way.
Yeah.
And so, of course, the two kids that are just, you know, random kids from high school are like, oh, we're going the fuck home, obviously.
Yeah.
And Diego's like, no, I'll stick with you, Dora. We're going to do this. We'll see it through to the end.
Yeah, Dora, I'm going to stick with you based on nothing.
Yeah.
Because so far, my whole character arc has been, I don't have one. I might as well go with you, Dora, see if my character arc is over there with your parents in the Lost City.
I mean, he at least did come over and be like, hey, I remember the good times we had, and I miss the jungle sometimes, and that's me.
I guess it's not as weird as I initially thought how completely weird you are.
I guess
I'm happy to be part of your crazy Peter Pan arc, sure.
This was the point where I was like, oh, I had already, when he rescued them initially, been like, I feel like this guy's probably a bad guy that's just trying to get them to lead him there.
Yes.
But when it came to this point where the like old lady is talking to them and only Dora knows what she's saying, I was like, wait a minute. You said you were a professor of ancient languages and she's speaking ancient Incan and you don't know what she's saying, but Dora does. I call bullshit.
I mean, yeah, it was more or less obvious from the moment he cracked open the thing that it was bullshit and he was the bad guy of the film. But in any event...
But that was the moment where I went, oh, okay, you're not even able to do what you were lying to say you could do. Get it now.
In any event, the old lady leads the two high school kids to a boat, and she's like, get in the boat and leave. Get in the boat and leave. And then they realize that she has an ancient Incan tattoo on her wrist, and they're like, well, now we gotta go.
Oh, that's the same symbol as the little warning fetishes that were up in the trees are supposed to belong to the guardians.
We were all okay with you being a crazy hermit who lived in the ruins of an opera house in the jungle. But now that you have a tattoo, nope, 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 nope.
We gotta go find the other three because they're in danger.
Yeah.
And the danger is that they get fucking high as balls.
Yeah, they find a big field of giant flowers. make their way through without touching them, and then accidentally touch one and get covered with spores that turn them into the regular Dora cartoon characters.
Yes. We get some business with them being cartoon characters for a while. It's great. And then they get rescued by the other two and are brought back to consciousness.
This movie is so clockwork that it doesn't feel like anything bad is ever going to happen. Because it's just like, oh no, we are cartoon characters. What will happen? Oh, we'll wake up because the other two found us. The end. Never mind.
Yeah, there's this whole thing where they like have to jump across this ravine. And I get that it's harkening back to the beginning of the film and Dora's big failure. And they want this to be like a moment where it's, oh yeah, it's Dora's inner turmoil.
Uh-huh.
Is that she isn't ready for any of this. Except the movie is so exceedingly positive and happy about things that there's no point where you're like, oh yeah, I can definitely feel Dora's pain.
Yeah, no, that never comes up. They just wake up in the care of their two friends and keep going.
Yes.
There's no mention of Maid of the Flowers ever again.
Anyway,
they get, at this point, they make it to the gates of the city or whatever.
They find their way through, and then, oh, oops-a-daisies, they find the parents, and then it turns out that he's a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bad guy all along.
He was, and he radios everyone else in, and then he kidnaps everyone. And then the kids get away, but not the parents.
Because Boots unties them.
Yeah. Then we get to a point where the only way that they can possibly save the parents is that they have to get into Parapata first and then use the treasure as a bargaining chip.
Yeah, and
then we get some Legends of the Hidden Temple shit.
We get some more jungle puzzle stuff.
Uh-huh.
They have to do just Indiana Jones nonsense.
Yeah, there's like lights on the ground or something. It doesn't matter. The lights on the ground and they correspond to levers. Couldn't be less interesting. Then they get inside. The whole city looks like it's completely empty.
Except on the main thoroughfare, there's like flags and other stuff like
that would have disappeared in the jungle. Yes.
Oh, things that would have disintegrated long ago.
I mean, at this point, we're fully aware that there are a lot of people living here because of all those lost guardians or whatever.
Yeah, but they haven't seen them, and yeah. They're like, oh, wow, this ancient city, and no one's here. I'm like, no, man, that is a freshly made banner up there. Like,
yeah.
That has been put up recently.
Yeah, there's no, they just don't mention these Lost Guardian people unless there's currently arrows being shot at them.
Well, of course not. Why would you mention anything like Lost Guardians or a talking fox?
Yeah.
Well, that's not noteworthy.
Notably, Swiper is back in that scene, in these scenes, as the guardian of the gate. Like, they make him stand and march back and forth in front of the gate, but Dora tricks him into touching a poison frog, so he passes out.
Yeah.
All right, so they get inside the temple, and they have to solve even more temple puzzles.
Yeah, they got to
a bunch of shit about the golden ratio.
Yeah, they got to shine a light on a thing to open a door, and then when they get in, they accidentally set off a trap where they've got to, like, they're in forced perspective, so they have to jump over what looks like a very large pit, but it's actually small.
And then they find the treasure chamber, and of course that's the point where the bad guy kind of walks in from behind them and is like, hello, I did not do any of those puzzles just now.
I just followed you, and you did all the work for me. And I'm like, yeah, but the room they were in where, like, the roof was coming down, and there were spikes and everything, the door shut behind them, and then they slid down and jumped off. We could see behind them that no one was back there. And then the thing reset itself. Where did you...
I went through the employees-only door that was very clearly visible right at the beginning.
It's one of those things where I understand that it is a trope in these types of movies where you go through all of these ridiculous, heinous traps and then the bad guy just shows up as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what the fuck? How did you make it?
Don't worry about it. That's pretty much his response. And then they go through the treasure, and it turns out that there's a golden monkey statue there that you have to solve a puzzle with to get, because it's not as much treasure as everyone thought because of the forced perspective thing. It's actually just a little gold monkey and some, like, random bits and pieces here and there. And they have to basically do the Last Crusade.
Yep, it's the Last Crusade where it's like, oh, you need to put in this monkey's hands the thing that is most treasured. And so it's just a choose wisely scene.
Well, Jesus was a humble man.
This is the cup of a carpenter.
Carpenters only drink out of wooden cups.
the carpenters only drank out of wooden cups.
That's why they were carpenters.
Famously.
Yeah. Anyway, in this case, it's what do
they wrote Tusk while drinking out of wooden cups.
In this case, it's that the Incans, well, what do the Incans value most? And of course, the bad guy's like, I will go first. Gold is what they value most.
Obviously, it is gold. Yeah. And here I go. I will put this on the altar. Gold and a dun. And they're like, no, you're so stupid. Anyway,
it's not gold. And then he falls through a pit in the floor and looks like he dies, but he doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's when a whole bunch of Incan dudes come just traipsing in there.
The Lost Guardians come in having the parents with them, but not the other mercenaries.
Yes.
And also the old lady is there, and then she magics herself into an Incan princess.
Uh-huh. Which means that the princess of these...
no one remarks on it.
Yeah, no one's even surprised.
God damn it.
It means that the princess of these people spends most of her time living in a hermitage in a burned out opera house for no reason.
Even if they were like, oh, the Guardians had seen them coming. We set this up so that we could get them to go whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Even then, they still would have had to set up this little, like, living space within the opera house way ahead of time.
Yes.
Because it's one thing to say, oh, I'm going to magic myself to look like an old lady and fool these people. It's another to be like, oh, there's a lived-in area right here that someone has clearly been in for a while.
Now, if anyone happens to track us through the opera house, they'll come across me sitting in there, which I will do for days whenever I get the notion that someone might be in our part of the jungle, and I will convince half of them to go home by boat.
It's a very weird plan, but sure. Thanks, magic lady.
Well, the Incan princess is like, well, get them, I guess. And Dora's like, no, wait, hold on. We're not treasure hunters. We're just explorers. We're here to learn. And she's like, oh, well, then why don't you solve the monkey puzzle?
She's like, okay. And she wanders around and then picks up a bowl and gets some water out of a thing and puts it in the monkey's hands.
The Incans valued water more than anything else.
Water is the most valuable thing because it brings life.
And I was like, well, I guess maybe they set that up by talking about how Incans had really good aqueduct systems.
I guess.
But otherwise, it doesn't feel like a very earned moment.
No, it was not a payoff.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a thing where you're like, oh, we spent a lot of time talking about, like, Incan culture and, like, specifically their agricultural system and, like, irrigation and whatnot.
Instead, it's just her going like, well, I know that because I'm Dora, duh.
Fuck you, I'm Dora and I know everything.
I was glad that she wasn't just like, well, the answer's friendship, so let's get like three or four of us up in this monkey hands. The ancient Incans valued being allowed to live in the jungle and not having to go to high school, right, Dad?
So she solves it, and then these pillars fall away, and there's a giant gold monkey.
An even bigger gold monkey, and they're like, yay, you have earned the treasure or whatever.
You have earned the right to see it. But then
Swiper
shows up and steals the little gold monkey, which then causes the wrath of the Incan gods to come down upon them.
Uh-huh.
And no one fucking mentions it.
I mean, again, we've made a couple of references to Indiana Jones, and it pretty much works the same way. Any given Indiana Jones movie is like, serious business, serious business, serious business. The fucking Ark of the Covenant is real.
God is real, and he is angry. I'm sorry. Well, back it up.
And then by the next movie, he's like, I've forgotten all about that. Anyway, serious business, serious business, serious
business. I haven't decided to become a fucking priest because I found out that God is for real thing.
I just went right back to school and started teaching shitty first day classes because that's what the beginning of Last Crusade is.
Yeah.
For sure.
So a giant...
Archaeologists don't go on cool adventures.
A giant storm brews up because the gods are angry and they have to chase Swiper.
I think my favorite part here is just that the Incans just straight up exit stage left even.
Oh, yeah. Because they came in from the side.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the storm starts, they take the bad guy and are like, peace, we're out. Anyway, yeah. We just leave through the side entrance.
Uh-huh. And all the non-Swiper bad guys that aren't also the big bad guy are still just hanging out in the jungle.
They disappeared the fuck out of this
movie. Temuera Morrison gets no end in this film. He's just not in the end of this.
There are two other mercenaries as well.
Three. There's the big black dude named Viper. There's Temuera Morrison. And there's the woman who was one of
Two other ones aside from him is what I'm saying.
Oh, aside from Temuera Morrison. Yeah. That's fair. There's three total mercenaries still hanging out in the jungle.
And
one
they
of them
get
was one of Jack
no
Donaghy's
business.
Girlfriends.
Yeah. No business at all.
No business. They're just gone.
So they have to chase after Swiper. They finally stop him when they get out of the city. And Dora's like, oh, I know how to fix this. I'm going to take this golden monkey back into the city and put it on the pedestal to
Not the same pedestal.
Not the same pedestal. Obviously, I'm not going to go all the way back into the city. But there is a pedestal over there.
Yeah.
And that will please the gods.
Yeah.
Now, when she... when she takes it in and puts it on the pedestal, she has to move it so it's facing the right way, like she is in Legends of the Hidden Temple, and then it like settles in and like a weight pressure sensor goes down, making it seem as if the weather was controlled by an ancient Incan booby trap.
Yes. Yeah, I know, because it causes a huge like dust storm. And then
then
it turns the dust storm off.
The clouds disappear.
The door closes automatically, and the vines grow over the door in a matter of seconds with a flower bursting up from the center of them.
No one mentions this.
Well, no, because everyone in the show is a teenager at this point, which means that they're all at this point.
There are two adults here.
I know, there's two adults, so they say fucking shit all because it's Eva Longoria and Michael Pena. And this isn't called the Eva Longoria and Michael Pena movie. It's the Dora movie. So we have to see her being like, I knew that was going to happen because I'm Dora and nothing ever goes wrong for me. And then Diego and Sammy have clearly fallen in love.
Yep. And the very end of this is essentially them just going like, oh, we're going to go on an adventure, Dora. We're your parents, and we love you. And this time, we think you've earned the right to go exploring with us. But
I
she's like,
I don't want to.
Ooh, I want to be with my friends.
Send me back to high school.
And then the very end of it has a fucking dance scene.
It's a flash mob. They do a flash mob dance scene where these four kids are now super popular.
You know how in every cartoon it ends with a dance musical number?
Uh-huh.
It's that.
It's that, including scenes where they cut off to see what everyone else is up to. Like, so they all have lines in the song. So it's like, hey, what's up with the big bad guy? Well, he's singing along with this song in a jail run by Incans.
Yep. Good.
And the parents are sitting around singing, and they have to stop Swiper from swiping again. Because for some reason, they now have the golden monkey statue at their house.
Well, they had
a golden monkey, I guess.
The one that Dora found, I believe.
Oh, okay,
still.
Right, yeah. Well, Swiper tries to swipe it, and this time they just boo the Swiper, no swiping.
Oh, man.
Aw, man. And then, you know, our main characters are doing a flash mob style dance number where they're doing the animal dance moves again, but now everyone thinks it's super cool because, you know, these four characters were gone for a week or two, and when they came back, they had such a strong air of mystery about them that when they start dancing randomly in an event, it's cool now.
I mean, I can almost understand that. Like, if some students that I had gone to high school with came back and they're like, hey, we got kidnapped by mercenaries and then had to go through the jungle, and by the way, I've got this, like, weird golden monkey or whatever, I'd be like, wow, fucking okay, cool.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a story.
I feel like I'd be like, yeah, you're even more of a dork now.
Would you, though?
Dork.
Would you?
Well, I was super popular in high school, John. I don't know if I can speak for everybody, but I was pretty much the raddest dude in school.
Pretty much.
I mean, there was no getting around it. Varsity water polo.
Oof.
I mean, I was cock of the walk.
Rule the school.
Mm-hmm. I did. And therefore, it was my job to let dorks know that they were dorks.
I still can't get over the fact that they find out that magic is real and gods exist, and then she's just like, I want to go to high school.
I know. It's crazy. Let's have a flash mob dance ending. Yay!
Everyone's so happy now.
Yeah, and it just ends that way. It's the mega happy ending.
I do want to say I liked the way they designed her backpack because they never really like focus in on it, but anytime you see it and she's walking away from behind, it does have like a face in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, there's
a hidden
face.
It's got the two like big buttons, and its zipper sort of goes up into a smile.
I mean, it turns right back into the talking backpack when they get hit with the cartoon fungus spores. It's like, I'm a talking backpack, and that's okay, and that's totally normal, and that's fine.
My mouth is a zipper.
Yeah. It was, you know, okay. It was all right.
Yeah, but I just think, you know, design-wise, that was good. They did a good job on the backpack.
Yeah, it was fine.
So we are pretty much done with the movie now. Let's go ahead and...
Well, you want to talk about the post-credits?
You know that post-credit scene?
Did you not?
The Dora Extended Universe?
Did you stay?
No.
You stay for the post-credits?
Of course not.
Oh, well, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't say anything then.
Oh, my God.
Because I don't want to ruin it for...
Oh, no. I'm going to go see it again, obviously, right now.
You're going to have to go see it again immediately to see that Mark Summers from Double Dare shows up at the end. He's like, I'm putting a special initiative together.
Man, I would, no joke, love that.
Even if it didn't go anywhere, like that was just the joke.
Like, I would, one, love that, and two, be 1,000% on board with a Nickelodeon extended universe.
A live action, well, Dora wasn't live action. So I guess, yeah, just a Nickelodeon extended universe.
Oh, man, because at that point, you got to look and go, well, what do we put in there? Because you're looking at a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen situation, but for Nickelodeon properties.
Well, first question, is it Nick Jr.? Because Dora was a Nick Jr. thing and not a Nickelodeon thing.
It's any Nickelodeon property.
Okay, well, then you're going to need Danny Phantom.
See, whereas I'm looking at it like, I want Clarissa there because she'll explain everything.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
She has to be in charge, but not on the adventure.
Yeah, she doesn't go on the adventure. She's the person who gives everyone their missions.
Yeah, she's
I am Clarissa.
Oh, my God. What are we all doing here? Let me explain it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be like, yeah, great.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa Joan Hart would be on board for a small cameo in that.
Melissa Joan Hart would be on board for anything.
Melissa Joan Hart is on board for work.
Yeah, it's not a problem. I would like the Good Burger Boys.
Oh, my God. If you got Kenan and Kel in there,
mm-hmm.
Ooh, you got me, baby.
Yeah, yeah. I want them Good Burger Boys. I would also like one of, but not all of, the Hey Dude cast.
Just one to ride in at some point.
Just Melody. Melody shows up and she's like, the rest of us are dead.
No one else made it out alive. It was a little wild and a little strange.
I wouldn't have made it out either if it wasn't for Donkey Lips.
The rest of the squad got taken out by man-eating jackrabbits or killer cacti.
It's true. I managed to pull her to safety. Also, don't ask me what happened at Camp Onawana. Everyone's gone. Everyone.
But I will hold it in my heart.
It's sad we had to part.
Good God. Man, that really dated us very hardcore right then.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, all
that shit stuff that happened when I was too old for it. If you want me to talk about Nickelodeon, it's going to be a bunch of shit about, like, Pinwheel. That's not true. Pinwheel's from, like, the late 70s.
Yeah, I'm like, my dude, you are not that old.
I know. I'm lying. I'm lying through my very teeth.
Anyway.
Give me Bear in the Big Blue House. Let's get him involved.
Ew.
We have to kill the bear in the Big Blue House.
Oh my God, I want that so bad. Okay,
but there was a trailer. Did you get the trailer at the beginning for a different Nickelodeon film?
Yes, and I can't remember even what it was.
Storm Jumpers, starring John Cena.
Oh,
it's one of those standard movies where a big muscle dude is like I'm the best of the best of the best at what I do, and what I do is a very manly thing that's very manly and dangerous and manly. Well, now you have to take care of these three kids. Oh no.
Oh yeah. That was definitely, looking at it, I went, oh, John Cena's trying to follow The Rock's formula.
Yeah.
He's like, I have to do one of these before I can do something else.
Yeah. Well, he already is in Fast and Furious 9.
Great.
Did you not heard that?
Good job, Cena.
Cena's been cast in Fast 9.
You're just really trying to get in on that Rock goodwill.
I feel like every other wrestler is like, okay, well, this is how Dwayne did it, so.
Oh, yeah. There's a formula to follow now.
Yeah. There's a path. Dwayne blazed a trail. But can he take care of these three kids
with
attitude?
He see what kids
and it
love?
Had like it had like Keegan-Michael Key in it.
Yep.
And it just looked like, oh, it was just one of those movies where, oh no, hijinks happen and he has to fall down on his butt. And even though he's super manly, can he raise children? A thing that women should do. I hate those movies.
All right. So let's go ahead and give our best and worst For Dora the Explorer, Jeff, give me the best thing in this movie for you.
The best thing in this movie is Swiper and his swiping.
I mean, I'm not going to fault you for that.
He's Benicio del Toro playing a CGI cartoon fox that no one thinks is weird.
The moment that he shows up in that movie, I was just like, I don't know what to expect anymore. Mm-hmm. I thought I knew what this movie was, mm-hmm. and you have definitely fucked with it.
Yeah, and there's the person, because Temuera Morrison is like some realistic henchman who's like, Swiper, get in there and get their map away from them. And he's like, yeah, I got it, boss. I'll be right back. And then he's, and that's it. There's no like, oh, by the way, we hired a talking fox to be on our team.
Yeah, he's just a member of the team.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's... He gets a cut.
It's like on Team Rocket where they've got the talking Meowth and no one gives a fuck. You think that everywhere they went, they'd be like, ooh, we're going to catch a Pikachu. And everybody be like, holy fuck, a talking one?
Holy, a talking Pokemon?
How much for the talking cat one?
That is worth more than any Pikachu is worth. Jesus, what are you doing?
Yeah, but that it's the same thing in this where you'd be like, why do you want treasure? You have a talking fox. But that's my favorite thing, John. You?
Okay, outside of that, because you have taken it, I'm going to go ahead. Yeah, you can flip me off all you want. I'm going to say probably the best thing in the movie for me is going to be the... I mean, it's along the same lines, but the moment where the old woman is like, and magic and poof, I'm a young Incan princess. And I'm like, no. No, fuck you. You can't just introduce magic at the 11th hour here and have anyone just be like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
No one remarks on it in the slightest.
No one is even surprised. They're just like, oh, you're an Incan princess.
Why not at this point?
Sure. And I'm like, no. No. You can't do this.
By the way, as an Incan princess, our whole culture is formed on whether or not little girls can solve puzzles, so do your thing.
Go ahead.
We're not going to talk about like any other aspect of Incan culture here. We loved water, and it's okay if you look at our treasure if you know that.
I shall chew my golden monkey respond.
Yeah, the Incan princess reveal is hilarious.
Oh my god. Yeah,
that's both a cool actor they had playing that Incan princess, though.
Oh, yeah, no, it's...
Her name's Corianca something or other, and she was super cool looking.
It's very interesting, but again, one of those moments in the film where I'm like, you've gone to a place that I did not think you were going to go. Well done, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
So, Jeff, the worst thing in this movie for you. Give me one scene.
You're right. I mean, normally I'd be going on some long rant about how I hate movies where a teenager has to prove herself by, like, being, I never moved past the mental age of 7. I'm going to teach you all a lesson. I don't like those kinds of films. But my least favorite thing in this movie, it's going to be that Diego has no character at all.
That's fine.
He's got nothing to do, and I don't care for it. And he doesn't make any sense. Why is he still in high school? Why is he so scared of it? What's happening?
I mean, there is definitely a backstory there that mm-hmm. we don't know for what is happening in his life.
Yes. Yeah, it's weird. It creeps me out. And I don't want to know. I want to know more just so I don't have it in my head. What's your least favorite thing?
I got to say, I don't even know if I would say that. I was thinking of... The scene where they were just getting chased through the jungle and getting arrows shot at them, because I was like,
I know it felt very generic.
This is so generic.
Yeah, and it doesn't track with the Incans that we see later in the film.
No,
they're not all about just killing you for getting near their stuff.
Yeah, they came and like had a conversation, but in here they're like, I guess we'll just shoot near you.
Yeah,
as a warning. I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't add up. You think they just pop up out of the jungle and be like, this is ours, get out of here. But it's just because running from darts hitting the walls near you is a classic
you have
movie
to.
Trope.
You have to do it.
Yeah, you're stuck with it.
But yeah, I mean, there wasn't a lot in this movie that I was like, I hate this.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I got a small groan out of the dance sequence at the end because I was just like, why? Why does every kids movie need to end with everyone dancing?
I think just studies show that kids like that.
Yeah, they're like, oh, what is this? Some film for kids? kids love it when at the end every character gets together and dances.
And given that our listener base consistently sends us to kid movies thinking it'll be hilarious, we've seen this a lot.
Yeah.
We saw this at Angry Birds' ending as well, where it was just like, I don't know how to end this. Dance party.
Anyway, here you go.
Look, we're going to play a song that I'm pretty sure has been the dance party at the end of another movie already. And we're going to show everyone dancing, including the pigs who just lost.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. It was all just stupid.
It's a weird thing. And I mean, I guess it must test well, but I just don't understand it.
It has to test well. That's the only possible explanation for it. But they do a big dance party where they all sing about their experiences, including poor Sammy having to be like, everyone saw me do a poo.
Yep. Yeah, that was bad. Anyway, let's go ahead and we're each going to give this film a score from 0 to 5. Gives it a score out of 10. Jeff,
I don't know, like a 3 or something. I wasn't like, I'm not the target audience for this, and I think it's perfectly aimed at its target audience, which I'm still not sure what is, but it felt like it was perfectly aimed at someone.
Someone like that.
So I'm going to give it a 3, which is, you know, it's competently made, but I don't care about any of it, and I wish it didn't exist anyway.
Okay.
That's my 3. How about you?
I'm going to give it a 3.5 just because I kept just being astounded at what was going on screen.
There's a lot of goggling of the eyes.
There's a lot of what, why, how, mm-hmm. how is no one referencing this? What is going on?
Well, notably, by the end of the film, Swiper has become the villain for Dora in general and is trying to steal stuff from her parents, but has also adopted the Swiper rule that if you tell him no swiping, he must stop swiping.
Yeah, it's it is a movie that just, it wormed its way into my brain, and it makes me not so much angry as confounded, but it's that level of confounding nonsense that makes me give it a 3.5.
Fair enough, man. That's a 6.5 out of 10.
There you go. A pretty decent score. Decent enough for government work.
Yeah, yeah. There you have it. That's what happens when you send us to a kids movie that was relatively competently
that was
made,
meat
that was meager and meek
and it will inherit the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for joining us on our journey. Of course, as always, if you want to vote on what we see in theaters next, you can go to our website, systemmasterypodcast.com. Go to the Movie Mastery tab and click on In Theaters Now. That'll take you to our poll, and you can vote on what we see for next month. And if you like what you hear, you like what we do here, you want to support us, you can go to Patreon. Go to patreon.com/systemmastery and support us at any level.
Any level at all.
Anything helps. And of course, we have bonus content for a bunch of our other shows. You've got monthly shows you can get in on. And if you join us on our Discord, which you can find by going to System Mastery on Twitter, you can join us, and any supporters get access to supporter-only rooms.
Heck yeah.
And there are even tiers and levels for that as well.
Also true. So true.
So thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back in another couple of weeks with more Movie Mastery. And until then,
I've been Elan Sleazebagiano.
And fuck you.